when I was, Mike gave us the privilege of working our talk, or whatever you want to call it, what was on our mind. And my last speech that I, or my last chance that I had to speak was at Piru, Indiana, and also my little group that I lead, that I kept running into some things throughout time. And one of the things that I run into was the word, the foundation of the world. What's really meant by the words, the foundation of the world? Just to bring you up to speed, there are six times the word from the foundation of the world is used. Once, there is since the foundation of the world. And there's, isn't that interesting, seven? And then three times there is the word before. Ain't that an interesting number? Three times. So we got from and since, almost basically the same word in three. So we have a total of 10 times. It's a fact that translators didn't always translate the Greek or Hebrew words into the equivalent English word. I hope that this was not done deliberately, but out of ignorance, or out of ignorance. But when they did translate the scriptures, that it was done to the best of their knowledge of the Bible in the most credible English reading. So needless to say, it is not unusual to find a Greek word translated into several different English words. Nor is it unusual to find several different Greek words translated by one English word. So, we find it necessary, we need to find out what the true meaning of a word is, and we need to check all the usages of the Greek rather than the English translation.
Amen.
So with that explanation, let's look up the word foundation. There are two Greek words that have been translated into the word foundation. You Greek scholars are going to have to cope with me for a few minutes. I'm going to do this. Enos. Greek word number 2310, it's a noun. Katabole, number 2602, it's also a noun. Those are the two words that are used in the New Testament, okay? Some interesting points here. Emolus, number 2310, is to lay a foundation, to build up. It is, now listen to this, it is never used with cosmos or earth. Okay? Katabole, number 2602. It's a casting down, an overthrow, disruption, or ruin. Look at this. It's always used with cosmos or earth. Always. Keep that in mind. Okay? Traditional Christian narrative tells us that the earth is 6,000 years old. This assumption is based on the reasoning that if we knew the entire tree of Adam to Jesus, a time of about 4,000 years, and the 6 days of creation immediately preceded that, then the earth must be about 6,000 years old. But is that right? Thank you. If we look a little closer at the scriptures, which we're going to, with a little digging into the original language that it was written in, we ought to be able to shed some light on the fact that there are actually three different earth periods or ages that are written about in the Bible. And let's call the first period as the one that before Genesis 1-2. Okay, so and the second period or age is the one that we live in now. It's from Genesis 2 till present. The third period or age is the one that is written about in Revelation 21 when it tells about, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first example comes with Genesis 1-1 and the 6 days of creation when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to notice that it doesn't tell us how it was created or how long it took God to create the universe. It just says that He created it. Yeah. In Genesis 1-2, He says, and the earth was without form and void. When you first look at the second verse, it sort of looks like a continuation of thoughts from the first verse. In the beginning, God creates the universe and then, here, sets the earth in space, void and without form, just waiting for what most believers believe are the 6 days of creation. But in the Hebrew, this is it's a different verse. Mr. Bullinger points out in the Companion Bible in the appendices that the word was, Hebrew word 1961, should have been translated became. In other words, it became without form and void. And when we look at the words without form and void, the phrase without form is Hebrew word 84:14, which means to lie in waste. A good example of that would be like as a desert. The word void, Hebrews 9:22, an indistinguishable ruin is what it comes out. I'm saying ruin as in it was in good shape at one point, and it became destroyed. Now I want you to think about this. An example would be, you can build a house, but you can't build a ruined house. Because it becomes that way. It becomes a ruined house. Okay? God did not create the earth without form and void, but it became that way when God destroyed the first earth age or period because of Satan's rebellion. And the first earth age or period where a third of God's children followed Satan, as it is written in Revelation 12. Amen. Everything of that age or period was perished. Ronnie, I want to ask you, how important is quality control?
Pretty important.
Very good. Let's talk about God's quality control.
In our place, I say quality is greater than delivery, which is greater than our cost. That's our.
You know, for some reason, when I was putting this talk together, it said, ask Ronnie that. How is God's quality control? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, page 282 in your Companion Bible. It tells us about God's quality control. Deuteronomy 4:32, He is the rock. His work is perfect. And that is Hebrew word 85:49. It means without blemish, without spot, complete, undefiled. Okay? Let's turn next to Isaiah 45, verse 18. It's on page 989 in the Companion Bible. The Bible tells us in God's own words, "For this said the Lord that created the heavens." God Himself formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain.
Amen.
And He formed it to be inhabited.
Amen.
I am the Lord and there is none else. The word vain is the same word which means without form. God didn't make the world without form, and He didn't make the world void. It became that way.
Amen.
Okay? God only makes things perfect. Let's continue our facts about this case that we're going to talk about. Let's see what the Bible says about the earth becoming ruined rather than being created that way. I want you to turn next to 2 Peter 3, 5-7, and I'm going to key in on verse 6. Okay? Verse 5, it's on page 1868 in your Companion Bible. Verse 5. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." That's deep. Verse 6, "being whereby the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water." Okay? Verse 7, "but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved until fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Okay. Some would like to say that that verse refers to Noah's flood. But is that the case? Let's do some more reading. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 4, 23 through 27, and it's on page 1023 in your Companion Bible. "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly." Verse 25 here. "I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens fled." There was no man, and all the birds of the heavens fled. Verse 26, "I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was..." Now remember the Hebrew word was... 1961 is the word "became." "Became a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at or because of the presence of the Lord and or because of His fierce anger." Verse 27, "And thus has the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end." Okay? First of all, I want you to make a point here. There was no man. That's number one. And number two, all the birds of the heavens were fled. Let's keep this in mind. If if this had happened in Noah's flood, all of Noah's family was still alive. And number two, and Noah also had birds and animals of all kinds, clean and unclean. Okay? The destruction that came here in Jeremiah left nothing alive on earth. Remember, the word was should be the word became, and lo, the fruitful place became a wilderness. And all the cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by His fierce anger. There's one other place in Scripture that talks about the world as a wilderness and a destroying of cities. And if you'll turn to Isaiah 14, page 950 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah 14, the second part of verse 6, that's 16b is what that is, and 17. Starting at the middle of verse 16b, it says, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" Verse 17, "That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners." One more clue that this flood was not Noah's flood. Turn to Psalms 104, page 820. Let's look at verses 5 through 7, and I want to key in on verse 7. Who laid the foundations of the, verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains, but deep water. Verse 7. At thy rebuke. That word rebuke means scolding or threatening. That's a Hebrew word, 1606. They, the waters, fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hastened away. The word hastened. 2648, suddenly or instantly,
amen.
God spoke it.
Amen.
Only God can do it. Okay? Hasted. Started up suddenly. With the Lord's thunderous voice, the waters went away suddenly or instantly. What does Scripture tell us about Noah's flood and how long it took for the waters to go down? Let's turn to, if you will, Genesis 7, verse 6. I don't have a page on that part, but that's in the first part of the Bible. Noah was how old there? Noah was 6. Man, that's an old boy. Good old boy. 600 years old when the flood came, okay? I'm going to skip a verse and then I'm going to come back to one. Genesis 8, 13. And it came to pass on the 601st year, and the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark. So we're looking at 601 here. But if you go up a few verses, to go to the just in the same page here in your Bible, Genesis 7, verse 24, it says, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So it didn't disappear. It was there. Okay? And I looked, and behold, the face of the ground, finishing Genesis 8, 13, it says, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. The waters of Noah's flood took a year almost to dry up. It wasn't instantly or suddenly like the waters in Psalms 104:7, it took a full year for the water to recede. But in the first flood, this once beautiful and fruitful planet became a wilderness, wiped clean of its population, plants, animals, even the cities. In that first earth age, before the Lord spoke the waters to be gone. The second problem with the traditional Christian narrative appears in that what is commonly known as the 6 days of creation, when they are really like the 6 days of refurbishing. The 6 days of creation in Genesis 1-2 are not the beginning of the world, but the renewal or recreation of the earth for the second heaven and earth period or age. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 104, page 821 in your Bible, 104, we're going to go 24, verse, and I'm going to key in on verse 30, okay? Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your passion, possessions, this great and wild sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. Verse 26, there the ships sail about. There is that evident that which you have made to play there. Verse 27, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. Verse 28, what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand and they are filled with good. Verse 29, you hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust. Verse 30, I want to key in on it. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renewest the face of the word. Renewest, Hebrew word 23:18, means to renew or to rebuild. Okay? So God renewed the earth for the second period, or the second earth age, which began in the middle of Genesis 1:2, second part. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The renewing or rebuilding had begun. Also notice that God doesn't actually, quote, create anything until the fifth day. But that is the first time that we are told that God spoke. God spoke 14 times, 2 times 7. He spoke and said, let things happen. Example, chapter 1, Genesis 1, 3. I'm going to sort of slide through them. Genesis 1, 3, it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, he said, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth, Mike, listen close to this one. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, corn, and soybeans for the seed guy. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after this kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the firmament of the heaven. Verse 22, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply on the earth. Verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, it was so. Verse 26, and let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. I want you to notice that God doesn't create anything until the fifth day, when in verse 21, God created whales and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly. So their kind and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then verse 28 tells them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and then subdue it. Now, the important part. Genesis 2, verse 1. Then the completion. The heavens and the earth are, he says in the Bible, they are finished. Thus, now, we've got that behind us. Well, let's continue with our study that we started out with, the word foundation. And let's take advantage of the rule of first use on the word foundation. The foundation of the world. The first place it is used is Matthew 13:35. So that it might be filled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Here we're referring to the use of parables in speaking of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Possibly, this translation could or should have been, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the overthrow or ruin of the world. The second reference is Matthew 25:34. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here we're referring to the separation of the nations and the second coming of Christ. The translation could have been, should have been, come, you blessed all my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the overthrow or the ruin of the world. The third reference, Luke 11:50, reads that the blood of all prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. Here, in this particular passage, we're referring to the character of those who killed the prophets sent to them. The translation could or should have been read that the blood of the prophets which was shed from the overthrow or ruin of the world. Amen. The fourth reference, Hebrews 4:3, reads, for we which have believed do not enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, again, translation could have been, should have been, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the overthrow or ruin of the world. The fifth one, Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Again, the translation here could have been, or should have been, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the book of Lamb slain from the overthrow or ruin of the world. And the sixth one, the last one of the thrones, Revelation 17:8, the beast that you saw was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. Again, the translation could have read, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the overthrow or ruin of the world. Now, the seventh one is the only place the word sense is used. Now we are changing the word just a little bit. And in Hebrews 9:26 says, for then most he often have suffered. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. And that translation could have been, or should have been, for then must he often have suffered since the overthrow or ruin of the world. The next word we're going to look at, I think that's the one that we are concerned about, should be. The foundation of the world is the word before. And it's used three places. And the first one is in John 17:24. That's when he was at his prayer in Gethsemane, I think it was. He was doing his prayer. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. This reference is to Christ only, and tells us that the Father has loved the Son before the Catabole, before sin originated in the heavens. It could have or should have written, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me, with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the overthrow or ruin of the world. The second reference, 1 Peter 1:19-20. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20. Who being Christ verily was foreordained, or in other words, he knew beforehand, even before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. This reference is to Christ only. Christ as an unblemished lamb. He is foreordained before the Catabole. In other words, this could or should have read, he knew beforehand, even before the overthrow or ruin of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, out of these 10, I've done 9 of them, but out of these 10 scripture references, only one is found in the prison epistles, which has to do with the truth for today. And that is the third reference. And the third reference, using the word before, is Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Again, this could or should have read, according he has chosen us in him before the overthrow or ruin of the world. Remember this. Many are called, few are chosen. This mystery in Ephesians and Colossians was hidden God and never revealed until the Apostle Paul wrote about it in Ephesians. And Paul received a mystery that was hidden from Adam to about 63 AD. And it's not an eternal purpose. It is a purpose of the ages. Okay. God chose his elect. Before the Catabole, or the great overthrow of the second earth age. And as far as the time element is concerned, we were the first that were chosen. Let's talk about the word chosen. Interesting meaning. Chosen is Greek word 1586, means to pick out, to select, to choose for oneself. God chose for him, for you to be used. Okay? Let's get an example here of this. If you'll turn to Luke 6:13, okay? Turn to Luke 6:13. I'll give you an example of that word. Luke 6:13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself from them. He chose the 12. He also named the apostles. Notice that they were already believers, so they were not chosen for salvation, but they were chosen for service. Okay? Another time, he reminded the 12 that they had not chosen him, that he had chosen them. Amen. And that is found, let's turn to John 15, verse 16. Give you another example. Okay? John 15, verse 16. It goes, not that you chose me, but I chose you. Okay? And ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Let's keep it straight. Not one of his disciples came and joined that band on his own will. Okay? Those that were chosen responded to the call and accepted it by faith. Okay? We just heard a good talk on faith. But we accepted it by faith. So the membership in the church is first made up of those that are chosen. And they accept this choosing by faith. Okay? And then the members are then given knowledge and build up or edified as needed. When it comes to the matter of salvation, it is whosoever that makes the choice. Example, let's turn to John 3, 15 and 16. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But when it comes to service, God is the one who does the choosing. People are chosen for service, but not for eternal life. Man can choose whether or not he will take the gift of eternal life. God is the one who chooses the individuals and the groups for service. And not all believers are called to service. We have the principle of many being called and few are chosen. Example. Israel was a chosen nation to be a service to the God of heaven. The priesthood was chosen to be from the family of Aaron. Moses was the chosen leader and deliverer. Paul was chosen to receive the mystery message of his will. The word chosen stands here at the beginning of Ephesians and cannot and should not be lightly passed over. Paul writes that they are chosen only when they are in Christ. So no unbelievers were chosen. Only those that were in Christ. God knows those who will respond when the gospel is presented to them. When the truth is presented to a saved person and they see that there is an outpouring, that ecclesia, I think it was, we talked about it, among them, the saved ones to make up the body. They either receive the truth or reject the truth. The scripture tells us that all who are in Christ will be made alive. But we are not told that all that are in Christ will be chosen. It is a chosen few that God has seen fit to make known the mystery of his will. The special thing about this mystery, there are no nationality requirements to be included in this select group of people. Example, height, weight,
Amen.
Birth, genealogy, place that you were born, your color. There are no educational requirements, thank God, or IQ requirements. Okay? Nowhere does it tell that a superior knowledge will make you a candidate for a membership of the dispensation of the mystery. If there is any special knowledge that is to be required, then Christ will see that it will be given as needed. As a member of the body, you have been chosen to serve. Number two, you are to be holy and without blame. Number three, you are to make known to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. Number four, you are to walk worthy of your calling. So, let's be the chosen that we have been chosen to be.
Amen.
After all, we were chosen before the cataway of the world.
Amen.
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 That's it.
Amen.